Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Rand Sabi is a young woman from the Nineveh Plains in northern Iraq. And in 2014, she and her family, along with all the inhabitants of the Christian village of Karakosh, were driven from their town by ISIS. And she spent 3 years in exile in Erbil, in the Kurdish region of Iraq. Rand is among a remnant who have returned to their town now, and they're looking to rebuild it and, of course, their lives. And she was in Dublin last week to speak to a human rights conference, and we had the privilege of welcoming her to Spirit Radio. In this beautiful interview with Spirit Radio, Steve Johnson, she shares the story of her people, their exile and return, and her desire that the country she loves, Iraq, would love and accept her.
I'm Ran from Iraq, from Nineveh Plain. I come from a town which name is Karakosh. It was like they used to call it the capital of Syriac people in Middle East. But, I mean, not anymore. Yeah. About myself, I studied accounting. I got a bachelor. I graduated in 2017, and I've been working with some NGOs, yeah. And okay. I'm also like a human rights defender and activist in Iraq.
We've actually heard of the area you're from and actually of Karakosh before through some of our interviews. Would I be right in saying that your mother is from further south?
Well, yeah, my mom is a Chaldean and my dad is Syriac.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Does that mean they're from different parts of Iraq?
No, my mom is from Mosul itself, and my dad, I mean, he was living in Mosul, but basically he's from Karakosh. Okay. But they are both relatives.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're related.
Yeah.
And what language do you speak?
Well, we speak Syriac there, which is a branch of Aramaic, Jesus' language. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. So that's what you speak. You don't speak Iraqi, or is there a language called Iraqi?
Yeah, it's Arabic. Yeah. Yeah.
Arabic. Okay.
Yeah, we speak it with people who are, I mean, people who don't speak Syriac or with Muslim people, but we don't speak it with Christian.
Within your village.
Yeah, we speak all in Syriac. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. What was life like in your village growing up?
Growing up there, yeah, it was really nice people there. They are so friendly, and you feel like each house there is your home, and people there, you just feel them like they are really your family. And and we were kids, and that time, even when we were teenagers, everyone, you see them like they are very simple people and innocent people there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really nice.
It had this sort of, even though it was quite a big town, it had a village atmosphere. You could move around.
Yeah.
People knew you.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knew everyone there, yeah.
Yeah. I'm aware that in June 2014, ISIS invaded Mosul and this area. What age were you at the time, and were you there at the time?
Well, yeah, in 2014, the 6th of August, at that day, I was with my dad in the church, and we've been for 3 days without any electricity or water. And for the last 3 days, we were sleeping in the roof of the houses, and we were watching rockets coming and going. And we know each one, this one is for ISIS, and this one is from the Iraqi government or the Iraqi army. In that day, three rockets have been fallen down to two houses there, and two kids and one woman have been killed. So people decided to leave the place over there. And that what happened in that day, we left our town in the morning about 9:30. Our family, my dad, decided to take us just to save our souls, because we were afraid that more rockets will be fallen to our houses. So it usually takes us about 45 minutes to get to Erbil, which is in Kurdistan region of Iraq. But in that day, it took us about from 4 to 5 hours, because everyone was running from the city.
So the whole town was abandoned.
Yeah, well, in that day at night, ISIS entered there and they took it.
Wow.
Yeah. And we've been for 3 years displaced, and after liberation, it was totally damaged and destroyed. Mm. There, our places, yeah.
How many are in your family and what age were you in August 2014?
Well, yeah, we were, I mean, my family, it's six people. I have like two sisters and one brother and mom and dad, but also like I had my grandparents and my uncles there, but they're not there anymore because they decided to leave the country after that. Yeah, and my mom's side are also not in Iraq because in 2012 or 13, my aunt's husband has been killed in Mosul only because he was Christian. So they all decided to leave Mosul and they are in U.S. now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was long before the ISIS invasion.
Yeah, yeah.
You and your family fled to Erbil in Kurdistan, as did many other people from the town. What was life like for you there in Kurdistan?
Well, at the beginning, it was so hard to accept that we are not going back again to our houses, because at the beginning, we thought that it's going to be like maybe for 2-3 days, not more. But then it was for 3 years. We, at the beginning, really, like, we lost hope because I was, I mean, me and my sister and other siblings, we were like studying and we thought that we can't study anymore. It was hard. And yeah, and I lost 1 year of studying. I couldn't study at that year. Yeah, it was very hard to accept it. And also we couldn't like leave the country because, you know, we still have faith for our, I mean, town and land there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't want to leave. That was your home.
Yeah.
And did you live in a house or...
Yeah, well, people there, I mean, at the beginning of the crisis, people were like sitting everywhere in the streets, in the gardens, and some, I mean, organizations made like for them tents, caravans, camps. But for us, no, I mean, my dad, because me and my sister, we were like young and he couldn't like put us in such places, you know, because always like it's not for everyone feeling comfortable to stay in camps or something. So we were renting a house at that time for 3 years. Yeah.
For 3 years, wow.
Yeah.
Did you get then in Erbil, did you find a place to study and complete your studies?
Well, yeah, at the first year I wanted to apply, but it was full and they closed the application and I couldn't complete it. So I left in 2000. I mean, I lost 1 year. But after that, I mean, our college was opened. I mean, they transferred it or they made like another place for it. And yeah, I studied there in caravans as well. Like our country became a caravan.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Your people were...
Like people, they were living in caravans.
Yeah.
We were studying in caravans. We had also like hospitals, caravans hospitals. Yeah, so... We just said that our country became a caravan.
So people from a village became a nomadic people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So can you tell me about your return? When you returned, was it safe to return? And why did you decide to return?
Well, you know, I was the first female that entered the place there. I went there after 3-4 days of liberation. Yeah, I was so excited to go and I couldn't believe that I'm going to see my home again. And it was dangerous at that time because like there were still some ISIS in some houses and also some bombs are still there standing. So, but it was good to go there and just to check on the house and yeah, and get all these memories again. But it was like totally destroyed, as I said. But in 2017, in December, we decided, yeah, we will go back after like repairing our home again and reconstruct it. Yeah, so we came back in 2017, in December.
So your house was damaged?
It was like not totally damaged, yeah, partially damaged.
Partially
but
damaged.
Other houses, no. I mean, too many houses have been like destroyed by the rockets and some houses, I mean, not some, too many houses. I mean, from the houses that they've been bombed, ISIS before running away, they decided to burn all the houses in the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about other public buildings and churches?
All the churches have been, I mean, destroyed as well. I mean, all the churches have been like burned also. We have one of the oldest church in Middle East, which is the Pure Mary, yeah, which we have like big love for it because people build it by their hands. I mean, our grandparents, and yeah, and it was too hard to see it like that. It was the same, church that I've been in the day that we ran away. Yeah, but now, yeah, it's getting better there, and yeah, some reconstruction started there.
So, what is life like there? And you know, have many people returned?
Well, in the day that we ran away from there and from Mosul itself, about 136,000 people ran away. All Christian people ran away from their homes. But now only half of them are back in their homes because the other decided not to come back and they just left the country. Well, even now, people, they don't feel like they really belong to this earth because we face too many dangerous and crisis there, especially for the Christian people. So everyone like thinking like, what is our fault to be like Christian, Iraqi Christian, and being killed like that? Because, you know, the church in Qaraqosh where I used to live, we like the church was arranging transportation for students from where we live to Mosul University. But once those buses have been attacked by some militias and they bombed one of the buses there, and we got like 2 persons died there, and we have 100 injured in that time. So after that, the church started to ask the government to open a university where we live in Qaraqosh, and that's what happened. For me, my dream was to study law, but I couldn't go there because I had to go to Mosul, and my dad would not let me go to Mosul because it was too dangerous. So I just studied, accounting in where I live.
So this was back before ISIS.
It was
this
before
incident,
ISIS. Yeah. Also, we got like, if you ever heard about Sayyidat al-Najat Church, which was in Baghdad, and while people they were praying in the mass there, militia attacked them, and 100 people were died in that day, in one day. That's why people, like, they don't feel like this is their real land and where they belong. That's why too many of them, they leave the country. I mean, people, they still love, and even the people who left the country, they wish that they come back again. But, you know, it's a big challenge to stay there. Yeah, I mean, no one want to leave his home, right? But we always expect and think that we might face something else, not ISIS, maybe in another name, but would do the same for us. Because Iraq, I mean, it's been a lot of wars and militias and fighting there in it. And it's not only for the Christian people, you know. I mean, Muslims as well, between themselves, they've been killing each other according to the, like, Sunnah or Shia. Also, like, IZD people have faced too many crises there, and too many of them have been killed in one day. Yeah, it's a big challenge to live in Iraq. And for these days, like for the last 5 days, we have about more than 100 people have died only because they were going for peaceful demonstration against the corruption. Because Iraq is the fourth country which is producing oil in the world. But people there are poor, and like if you don't work, the government don't pay you anything. And the starting of the demonstration started like from the people who had like a PhD and master. They were asking for like hiring them, and the government started to kill them and to hurt them. That's why these days.
So
it's
this
very
is in recent days, and this is
yeah,
in,
this is in recent
Baghdad,
days. Baghdad. Not only in Baghdad, yeah, in some yeah.
So these are protests
in Iraq.
Around
yeah.
Iraq.
Like when I came here, I couldn't reach my family because I mean the government there they shut it down the internet and they cut all the communication between people to just make them not to arrange this demonstration. So till yesterday, I could reach my family. Thanks God.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. What are your hopes for the future, Rand?
Well, what I hopes, it's. It's all the hopes, I can say them in one word, which is like, I hope that I have like a home, a real home that have me and love me as I do. Yeah.
And you would like that home to be
Iraq.
From where you're from.
Yeah, from Iraq. I mean, we want to feel like Iraq love us as we do, because if I don't love it, I could like leave it as my relatives did, and yeah, they love it, but maybe they couldn't stand anymore there. But no, we're still there because we think and we believe that Iraq still need us.
And you have a vision for Iraq to be continue to be a country, but where people from different religions can live in harmony.
You know, when will happen, like, I think this thing will be true when Iraq will not let other countries interrupt and take decision instead of them. Because our government, they have faith for too many people, like each political man there or woman, they have faith, like maybe to Iran, maybe to Saudi Arabia, maybe they scare from US and they do what they tell them. Mm. When Iraq become free, yeah, we will have that home.
So you would like for other countries just to support Iraq to govern itself and
they
and,
say
and make
that
its
we
own
support
decisions.
It, but they don't. They just control it.
Tell us a little bit about coming to Ireland. Why have you come to Ireland, and what have your impressions been of the country and how you've been received here?
I came here with an organization. I had a conference here also to speak about like human rights defenders and activists in Iraq and how it's going these days there, and what we faced at that time. Yeah, well, I really love it. And I like when people, they were like hearing that I'm from Iraq, and especially from Nineveh Plain, and especially for Christian people and Catholic, when they knew that I'm Catholic, it was like, oh my God, there is still Catholic in Iraq, and we didn't hear that. Also, I really love the country as the first time that I came here, and yeah, I'm enjoying here. It's very nice. Yeah, right. It was good a break to have it. I mean, in these days, while we are, I mean, facing all these challenges, it was good to be here.
Well, you'll have to come again, and you'll have to bring some Irish people out to Karakosh.
Oh, yeah. Like, I always, when I talk with people now, I'm telling them, you are always welcome in my home. But if, like, and for the question that you asked, if I can come here again, I would love to come, but if I got the visa, you know, because it's very hard to get visa here. Yeah, it's not that easy. For Iraqi people to get visa for, I mean, other countries.
Rand Sabeh, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this morning.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.